Today we're going to learn Me'ilat Daf Chet. We're starting the second parak, starting discussing Chatat Ha'Of. Okay, if you remember, there's a bunch of korbanot that you bring two birds, one lechatat, one le'ola. We'll get later to the olat ha'of. Okay, we're starting with the Chatat Ha'Of, and again, we're going to relate to what are the laws of Me'ila by Chatat Ha'Of. Now, the assumption is it'll be the same as a regular korban chatat, a sin offering, where what happens? You designate it. It already becomes Kodesh Hashem. It has a din of Me'ila, and after you do the Zrikat Dam, then it's going to remove the Me'ila from there because the meat is going to be mutar to the Kohanim. So let's read. Chatat Ha'Of mo'alim ba mishuktisha. From the moment of huktisha, like I said, you designate it, it has a din of Me'ila. Nimleka, as soon as you shecht it, we're going to discuss three stages. Hukikdish, nimlak, right, you did melika, and then haza'ah, the sprinkling of the blood. Even though we'll see, there's really four stages, okay? There's Yifrish, there's Nimlak, there's Huzah, and then there's Mitzah. If you remember, maybe I'll already read you the Pasuk, okay? What happens is, Behizah midam ha-chatat al-kir ha-mizbeach. If you remember, by the Chatat Ha'Of, you do it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Remember, there's the middle part. You're supposed to do it from there, downward. And then it says, V'hanish al badam, whatever's left after you've done the haza'ah from the blood that came out from the malika, then yimatze el yesoda mizbeach. You press it into the wall and kind of squeeze out whatever extra blood there is, and that you do with the yesod. That's the bottom ama, the bottom ama of the mizbeach is called the yesod. That's where you pour the shirayim. This is like a din of shirayim, right? Whatever's left, you kind of squeeze, you know, press into the wall to squeeze out whatever blood is still there. So there's actually four stages. Note that the Mishnah only mentions three. We'll get back to that. Okay, so Mishuk Disha, right? Hifrish, we're going to say it's Mi'ila, right? Then the Dina Mi'ila kicks in. Misha Nimlaka Hukshira Lipasel B'Tful Yom U'B'Mchusar Kippurim U'Velina. Okay, that's a mouthful. Let's explain what all those things mean. So first we have to understand what each of these categories is. A Tful Yom is someone who's Tamei. They could have been Tamei where to get out of their Tumah, they could have been toveling that day, or sometimes you have to wait 7 days, depending on what type of Tumah it is. But you've gone to the mikvah on whatever day it was that you were supposed to tovel, in the morning, let's say, or at any time during the day, but you have to wait till the end of the day, and only at the end of the day are you fully tahor. Now we're going to learn today that you're kind of in an in-between stage because you've already gone to the mikvah, so you're not 100% tameh, but you're also not 100% tahor. So you're at this in-between stage. So what does this mean? Let's go through this before we get to the next category. Once you did malika, at that point, if a tful yom touches it, he will make it tameh, or she will make it tameh. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's obvious, because before malika, the bird's alive, remember? Animals or birds or anything that's living doesn't, other than humans, which can become tameh, tamemeh, all sorts of other tumah. But animals, and in the animal category, the broader birds, cannot become tameh until they're dead. So as soon as malika kicks in, it potentially could become tameh by a tful yom. Or a mechusar kippurim. That's someone like a yoledet, or someone who had a baby, or a zav or a zava, and a bunch of those categories, where what happens? Yes, you go to the mikvah on day number 7. Then you become tahor at night. But you're not fully tahor because you have to wait till the next day. You have to bring your korban. Until such time that you bring your korban, you can't eat kodashim, which is this meat, right, that we're talking about. And not only can you not eat it, you can't touch it. You're still considered tameh for kodashim. So therefore, if a mechusar kippurim comes in contact with it, touches it after it had malika, well, it's going to now be tameh.
I'm confused. Yeah. And it may not really, really matter, but yeah. If the Kohen is doing malika on the bama,
yeah,
what are the odds of one of these people being there
in touching it?
I'm like, logistically, it doesn't work.
It's true.
Because those people can't be there.
Right. That's true. They can't be there. But if they were to have been there, or let's say it was Yotze, let's say it got taken out. Now it's disqualified at that point. But no, well, it's true. However, if then they touched it and it became tameh, then and you ate the meat, you get kareit. If it's just yotze, you don't get kareit. But you would get kareit if someone, let's say, it goes out and someone tameh touched it. It's possible. I mean, anything's possible. It's not likely, but that's what would happen to him. You're right that it's not the most likely scenario. Uvilina. And at this point, Right. Now remember, before you slaughter it, just by designating it, that doesn't make it, the psul of lina doesn't kick in. What's the psul of lina? So there's two opinions here about what we're talking about. Either we're talking about the meat or we're talking about the blood. If we're talking about the meat, then the meat gets disqualified once it's left overnight. Okay, that's because, right, there's a certain amount of time you can eat it, and after that it's left overnight, it's disqualified. That disqualification of lina, right, so that would mean, literally, lina, it slept overnight, it would be pasul. Now, again, if you just designated it, it doesn't become pasul. You don't have to sacrifice it that day. We've seen lots of scenarios where someone designates an animal, and then later, you know, much later, he sacrifices it. But once you do the malika, then the clock starts ticking, and it's going to be pasul lina. Some people say we're talking about the blood. Now, the blood becomes disqualified when? Well, you have to sprinkle the blood that day. And daytime. So as soon as sunset, the beginning of sunset, shkia, that's it. It's psul lina. So some people say lina doesn't actually mean sleeping overnight. In this case, it means getting to nighttime. You've left it past the day. So at that point, the chiyuv kicks in for lina, right? That it's the clock starts ticking, and that day, if you don't finish it that day, it's going to be psul, whether we're talking about the meat you have till the morning or the blood you have till sunset. Okay, third stage, huzadama, chayavin alav, this is going to sound familiar, like the previous Mishnah and before that, chayavin alav mishum pigol notar vitame ve'em bame'ila. What does that mean? It means, once you do the sprinkling of the blood, then if there was a pigol machshava before, or if it becomes notar after, or a tame comes in contact with it at any point, since you did, you remember the whole thing, hazaat adam by pigol is ritzoi, right? It says there lo yiratzeh, it's as if it was accepted. You're only going to get the chiyuv karet for those three things. And then, by the way, all of it is learned out from pigol. If you remember, pigol and notar come up in the same pasuk, so we always make this comparison. And then we make a comparison from tame, nasa, vono, avono, tisa, from notar, we've done from notar to tame, we've done this many times. From there, they get that the dam is what's kofea. If the blood is not sprinkled, then if you eat any of those kind of meats, it's usur, but you don't get karet. So once it was huzah, you're now going to be chayav in the case where it's pigol notar or tame. You're going to be chayav for eating the meat. You're going to get karet. Ve'em ba mi'ila, and the mi'ila isur is removed because what happened? You sprinkled the blood. At this point, there's no din of mi'ila. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and it says, Katane hukshira li pasel b'tful yom v'muchusar kipurim u'vilina. Notice the words li pasel. Okay, now we're going to go back to laws of Tum and Tara. I'll give you a little review. If you remember, laws of Tum and Tara, we have avatuma, right? We have Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and it goes down all the way to Rabi. Rabi is the end game. Okay? Yeah. So you have an avatuma. That can create some, it can turn something into a Rishon. What has potential to be a Rishon? Adam and Kelim, man or utensils, and ma'achal and mashkeh, food and drink. But a Rishon can, now from here going down, humans cannot become tameh and not vessels. It only, all the following stages are only food and drink. Now, a Rishon can make anything into a sheni. So if a Rishon touches a sheni, right, which could mean a person touches food, or the kli touches food, or food touches food, it turns it into a sheni. What is, usually that's the end game at sheni, for chulin. For chulin, that's the end game. There's nothing past sheni. But a sheni, if a food that's a sheni comes in contact, a food or drink, comes in contact with truma, it's what we call posel et hatruma. That means it disqualifies the truma, okay? And that's the end game for truma, okay? Because after shlishi, there's nothing else. Okay, that's why we wash our hands, netilat yadayim, because our hands, we say, are shniot. They come in contact with lots of things, and then our hands can mess up truma, and that's why we wash, to remember the kohanim. So now, but it doesn't mitame et hatruma. If we'd say they use different lishonot, mitame means it makes it tame, then now it can be mitame other things. But since a shlishi is the end game for truma, they say posel et hatruma. But when it comes, if a sheni touches kodshim, which is sanctified meat, like we're talking about, the chatara o, for example, it turns it into a shlishi, which means it's mitame a shlishi, because there's revi'i for kodashim. Okay, so there's shlishi for truma and kodashim, and there's revi'i for kodashim. The difference between the truma and the kodashim and the shlishi is that the truma is pasul and the kodashim is tameh, because it can be mitameh other things. Now, note what our Mishnah says here, though. our Mishnah says if a tful yom comes in contact with the kodshim mead, what will it do? Lihi pasel, it says. It doesn't say litamei, li pasel. Now that's a little weird because we're assuming, right, a tful yom is in the category of a rishon. He should turn it into a sheni. That should be mitame, the kodshim, and not li pasel. So we're going to have to explain now. Remember, a tful yom went to the mikvah. So the tful yom is not exactly fully tameh. A tful yom is in this in-between category because the person already went to the mikvah but hasn't yet had the sunset. So now we're going to, which completes the tahara process, right, the purity process. So therefore we're going to say, matniti mane rabbanan hi. The Mishnah clearly doesn't match everyone's opinion. It must only match Chachamim's opinion. And now we're going to learn a Tosefta from Taharot, in Perek Aleph of Taharot. It's going to talk about three opinions about how we treat a Tful Yom. We're going to see that even though I explained the order of the Avatuma to a Rishon to a Sheni to a Shlishi to a Revi, that's in a regular Tamei person. But when it comes to Tful Yom, there's unique laws and three different opinions about what the unique laws are for the Tful Yom. Abba Shaul Omer, Tful Yom, Tchila LaKodesh. We treat a Tful Yom as a Rishon. Okay, so according to him, actually it is regular Dinei Tumah V'Tahara. A Tful Yom is a Rishon. He's going to be Matame Asheni, Asheni Ashlishi, Ashlishi Revi, which means that if you were going to talk about that, the Mishnah would have said, Litame V'Tful Yom. Rabbi Meir Omer, Mitame TaKodesh Uposel TaTumah. Rabbi Meir says a Tful Yom is Mitame Kodesh, Posel HaTatruma. What does that mean? He's a Sheni. Okay? Shows you got it. He's a Sheni, basically. If he's a Sheni, what does he do? He messes up Truma, just right? The Truma, end game of Truma, Shlishi. But it would be Mitame Revi, so the Kochim to be also have the power to Mitame Revi. So it clearly doesn't match Rabbi Meir, because he says it explicitly, it's Mitame. The Chachamim Omrim, now here we're obviously going to get to our case. Now, in order to say what he is, you're going to have to kind of create a new category. Because no one's going to say he's Shlishi. That doesn't make any sense to call a Tful Yom a Shlishi. Seems a little odd. So what does he say? Kishem shehu posel mashket truma v'ochle truma, just like, he's treated like a Sheni, except that since his Tumah is weaker than a regular Sheni, because he's a Tful Yom, we're going to say that just like he disqualifies a liquid of Truma or a food of Truma, kachu posel mashke kodesh v'ochle kodesh. Likewise, he disqualifies kodshim. Okay, so we're going to kind of, it went down from Rishon to Sheni and kind of went up from, right, instead of being Matame, it is a Revi, he's going to be Matame, the kodshim is a Shlishi. Okay, or I should say the opposite. Instead of making Matame them as a Shlishi, he's going to treat them as if they were Revi, and that's the end game for kodshim. Okay, both are coolest, right? We're both lowering him a level to a Sheni, and we're saying, and he only has koch to make Kodshim and Truma a Shlishi, but there's no Revi after that. So we basically see that he's Posel, according to Chachamim, he's Posel Kodshim, so our Mishnah must only match Chachamim. Amar Rava, Rava says no. La'aba Shaul, ma'ala asu b'kodashim. Shavinu Rabbanan l'tful yom kirishon. Now we're going to say, no. Really, our Mishnah is talking about Torah law. And the Tosefta is talking about what the rabbis instituted. From Torah law, it really only disqualifies Kodshim. But the rabbis kind of gave him a ma'ala. They wanted to be more machmir, right? According to Chachamim, we're kind of more mekel because he's a Tful Yom. But if you remember, in that time, there was a lot of hitaskut with Tumah and Tahara, and they were all, especially the Tzdukim, were very careful about Tumah and Tahara. And the rabbis, there were these people who treated Chulin al Taharat HaKodesh, and there was this whole, right, sorry, not the Tzdukim, the Prushim. The Prushim, the whole thing was called Prushim, right? They were very careful, and they kind of tried to keep all these laws of, the Tzdukim also had their things with Tumah and Tahara, but the Prushim also tried to keep these things with Taharat HaKodesh. And we're going to see, because of that, so they made a Tful Yom like a Rishon, even though really he isn't Mikar Adin. L'Rabbi Meir, you could explain it, Ka'ochal Sheni, Malasu b'kodeshim, but they didn't make him a Rishon, they made him a Sheni. Okay, even though theoretically, from by law, he really only is Posel Kodeshim. Okay, he doesn't have the koch to make them any worse than that. And L'Rabbanan, how do they view it? Why don't they hold by this Malasu b'kodeshim? They say, Kevan de Taval, Kalash Tum'ah. psul mashave, tame lo mashave. Since he toveled already, his chuma got weaker, which means even though normally we might treat him like a sheni and he should be metame, touch him like a shlishi, which means they should be tame, but since his chuma was already weakened because he went in the mikveh already, so we're going to say that he only disqualifies kochim but doesn't actually render it tame. Okay, so that was explaining our Mishnah. So we had two ways of reading our Mishnah. Either it's only chachamim because of this word lipasel, or it can really be explained according to everyone, and just there's a difference between d'oraita law and d'rabbanan law. Okay, moving on. Huzadama. So the third category in the Mishnah was huzadama. What did we say? Just like in the previous Mishnah, once you sprinkle the blood, what happens? No longer is there a din of me'ila because it's allowed for the kohanim to eat, and kicks in. If you eat it, if it's pigul, notar, or tameh, you're now going to get chiyuv karet because the blood was sprinkled. If the blood isn't sprinkled, there will be no chiyuv karet. So we're going to have two questions on this. The first question is exactly the same question we asked on the previous Mishnah, which is, mi'ilahu, the way we ended yesterday, mi'ilahu deleika avali suha ika. It says, huzadama chayvin ala blah, 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 ve Ein ba mi'ila. Ein ba mi'ila seems to imply, instead of saying it's mutar ba'achila, it says ein ba mi'ila. Ein ba mi'ila seems to imply, well, you don't have the chiyuv d'oraita of mi'ila, you don't have to bring the korban, you don't have to pay the extra fifth, but it's asur to benefit from. Now, again, we're going to ask that question. V'amai, hama mona de kohanim hu. It should be allowed for the kohanim to eat, so why don't you just say mutar ba'achila, right, or mutar la kohanim. So, just like we saw in the previous sugya, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Li Yotzin, V'Rabbi Akiva Hida, Amar Zrikam O'elet Li Yotze, De'la Bat Achilehi. What did Rabbi Chanina say? This Mishnah, just like the previous Mishnah, isn't talking about a perfectly good Chatada Of. It's talking about a Chatada Of whose meat was taken out of the Azara before the Zrikat Dam. It became disqualified. Then what happens when you do the zrikat adam? So there's no din of me'ila for the meat because the zrika is mo'elet. There's a play on words here, by the way. Mo'elet means it's effective. Doesn't mean me'ila. It's effective actually to remove the me'ila, but it's the same root as mo'elet and me'ila. So zrika mo'elet liyotze, meaning, remember what his whole shita is? Since the blood affects atonement, even though the meat went out, therefore it has effects on the meat to remove the din of me'ila, even though la bar chilahu, right? But you can't eat it because it was yotze. And once it's yotze, the meat is disqualified and can't be eaten. So therefore, we'd have to explain the Mishnah in order, again, assuming you make this inference, ein ba me'ila means, right? One doesn't necessarily need to make that inference. Ein ba me'ila, we're also in Masechet Me'ila, they're all talking about me'ila, so to say, you can eat it, maybe it doesn't suit their needs, right? But the Gemara viewed it as Ein ba mi'ila must mean it's kind of like in Shabbat when we have patur. Patur meant patur of alasur, although not everywhere. Right? Patur meant you're exempt, but it's asur to do, meaning it's kind of isur de rabbanan. You don't have to bring a korban chatat if you did a b'shogeg, but you can't do it. But sometimes patur actually meant mutar, and there were discussions about it all the time. When does it mean this? When does it mean that? And it's not super clear cut. So here also, I don't know if the Mishnah necessarily meant that, but the Gemara understands the Mishnah as meaning ein ba mi'ila means but you can't eat it, and therefore you'd have to explain the Mishnah, not kipshuta, but that we're actually talking about a case where it was disqualified. Okay, the second issue we have to deal with is what we talked about in the beginning. There's really four shlavim, right? There's Yifrish, Nimlach, Huzah, and then Mitzah. This smearing of the blood, that's a better word for it. I couldn't think of the word before. Smearing of the blood on the wall, right? Squeezing it out, but really then smearing it. So, why didn't it say, and theoretically, how does this work? We said that what's the moment that creates all the next things, right? It's Hazaat Adam. Now, that means Zrika, that we talked about before, right? In this case, of the Chatara Of, it's Hazaat. Right, Hazaah is equivalent to Zrikat Adam in animal korbanot. But what about Mitzah? Wouldn't you think it would be Hazaah and Mitzoy Hadam? Because Mitzoy Hadam is the continuation. It's almost like this is really one stage. Or do we say that maybe Mitzoy Hadam is not necessary? Okay, maybe it's not critical. It's not what we call in the Lashon of the Gemara, Lo Ma'akev. You can do the korban without doing Mitzoy. So is it or not? So we're going to have a machloket. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, we're actually going to have a machloket about what Rav himself actually said. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Mitzoy Chatata Of Eino Ma'akev. And Ditane Rav, Huzadama. Rav's girsa in our Mishnah was Huzadama, not Mitzadama. What does that show? It shows that Mitzoy Adam is not necessary. If you didn't do Mitzoy Adam, you get kapara just from Hazaah, and that's it's clear because the moment that's critical in the Mishnah is Hazaah, which means that Mitzoy is not Ma'akev. Rav Adabar Ava Amarav, he said in the name of Rav, Mitzoy Chatata of Ma'akev. It is Ma'akev. Okay, Vitane Rav, according to him, Rav's girsa in the Mishnah was not the same one that we have. His girsa in the Mishnah said, Mitzadama. It was Mitzoydam that affects all those changes, that there's no more Me'ila, that now it's Pigol, Notar, and all those things will be Chayav Karet. And it must be Mitzah is the wording. So now, we're going to try to figure out which opinion will we prefer. Tashma, let's learn from here. It says in the Pasuk, okay, again, I read this in the beginning, but let's read it again. It says, V'hiza, okay, we're in Vayikra He Tet. V'hiza midam ha-chatat al kira mizbeach, v'anish'al badam yimatze el yisona mizbeach chatat hu. Okay, for some reason the Gemara is going to say the Pasuk says chatat he instead of who, but the Pasuk actually says who. It's not so critical, I'm not going to get into that. But what does it say here? Whatever is left of the blood, meaning, right, there's a big spurt of blood, When you do the malika, that blood gets sprinkled on the mizbeach, and whatever's left gets smeared on the yisod, the bottom of the mizbeach. Chatatu. Okay, notice those words. Chatatu. We'll get back to that. So tashma, v'nishar b'dam yimatzel yisod mizbeach chatatu. Bishlama l'Rav Adabar Ava, haynu dichtiv. Okay, Rav Adabar Ava, who said that mitzoy chatata of is critical. That's why it says. They're going to darshan these words chatati or chatatu. And what's it saying? You have to do the mitzoy dam. Now, there's two ways to understand this that I saw, at least two ways. What's the significance of the chatati? Either it means it's a korban chatat, like this is still part of the whole process of the chatat, or it means chatati, you've gotten your atonement done at this point, right? That it says do the mitzoy dam, and then you have your atonement. Okay, so. Specifically, because these words are mentioned right near Mitzoy Adam, it sounds like it's a critical part. Ela l'Rav Huna, mai v'hanishah. So how would Rav Huna explain this whole end of the pasuk here? Sounds like you have to do it, because chatatu. So what did they answer? Kedetanya debe Rabbi Yishmael, she'im nish'ar. The hanishar badam is only if there's any blood left. Not that you have to do it. He reads the pasuk as, if there's any blood left. Now, this didn't explain yet our problem of chatatu. It just explained, well, it's true, it says, v'hanishar badam, whatever's left, but it's only if there's something left. Maybe all the blood came out the first time and there's nothing left, and then you don't have to do it. So now they say, umay chatatu. So how do we deal with those words that are mentioned right next to the mitzoy adam, which makes it sound like it's a critical part? Aresha. Oh, we do this sometimes in psukim. Really, those words refer to the beginning of the pasuk. Remember, the beginning of the pasuk said, "V'hizami dama chatat akira mizbeach." Then it said, "V'nishar b'dam yimatzel yisod mizbeach chatatu." Well, it's as if chatatu should go in the middle of the pasuk. Okay, we call this like sirus, right? We cut and paste. It really, it belongs in the middle. Okay, and that's how he explains it. Those words refer to the beginning, and we have no issue. But now, Rav Acha Barei Derava is going to raise an issue on this from another pasuk, which is very similar. This is like Shirayim, right? Whatever is left. We're going to see in a different case of the Kmitza, whatever's left. Right now, what we're saying is the word Hanish'ar. Hanish'ar means Im Nish'ar, right? But not that it necessarily has to be left. But now we're going to see a case where something's left over, and it has to be, there has to be leftovers. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Amalei Rav Acha Barei Derava L'Rav Ashi Ela Me'ata Gabei Mincha. When it comes to a Korban Mincha, you take your flour, water, oil, you mix it together, you make a dough, you put the frankincense on, you dip your finger in, you take out the kmitza, and then what does it say? V'hanoteret min ha-mincha la'aron u'levanav kodesh kodeshim meishe Hashem. Who gets to eat the leftovers? Aharon and his sons. Now notice it says v'hanoteret. So now, according to what we read, hanishar means if there's left. Also, noteret should mean if. So, elamayat ha-gabay mincha dechtiv v'hanoteret. Hachinami, she'im nitota. You're going to say, is it also there if it's left over? V'chitema hachinami. And if you want to say, yes, in fact, it's only if it's left over, that doesn't make sense. Because v'hatanya misalta u'mishamna al kol levonota. Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. In Vayikra Bet, Pasuk Bet, it says, V'heviyal b'nei Aharon ha-Kohanim, you bring the dough to the Kohanim, V'kamatz misham melokum, so he takes a fingersful, Misalta u'mishamna al-kol levonota, from its solep, from the oil, with the levona on it. And then it says, right now, Misalta, we always say, what does the mi mean? From, but not all of it. Okay, that's where we're going to get it from. And then it says, V'yiktira kohenet eskarata mizbecha isharech nechoch la'ashem. And then he burns the kmitza on the mizbech. Okay. And then the next pasuk is, and whatever's left, they get to eat. So now, what do they say? What do we learn from the words misalta u'mishamna kol levonota, from its solep, from the oil, from the and with the frankincense on it? Prat shechasra, this comes to exclude a case, shechasra salta v'chasra shamna v'chasra levonota. If it's missing and we don't have it anymore, then you can't burn the kmitza. So what do you see? You have to have leftovers. So how do we explain that here you have to have leftovers, but hanishar means im nishar, and that would then be a question on the opinion of Rav, I think it's Rav Adabar Ava, on Rav Huna, who says, mitzoy chatat eino ma'akev, right? It doesn't prevent you from finishing it. What?
Just differentiate down
from kmitza, right? So what do they say? Well, you have to have a reason to do that. So amre, the answer is hatam ktiv v'hanoteret kha yitera. The words v'hanoteret are unnecessary. So it's unclear exactly why they're unnecessary. Rashi explains because it says noteret in another pasuk. So because it says noteret twice, you didn't need it to be mentioned twice in the same context. Okay, so he says it's unnecessary for that. There's others who say, because you can read the pasuk without the word hanoteret, it would be obvious that what are they eating? If let's put it simply, if you burned the kmitza, well, what are they eating? They're obviously eating whatever's left over. So the fact that they use a word, hanoteret, it comes to teach you, it has to be left over. Okay? Whereas, I guess by us, v'hanishar wouldn't necessarily be as important, but again, one could argue, right? If you use the second argument, one could argue, if you use the first, well, there's an extra word, hanoteret, here hanishar doesn't appear twice. So maybe that's why it's a better interpretation. Okay, that's it for today.